happen again. So I want to make that a one-time thing.
You wouldn't recommend it?
No, I highly recommend not hopping on the COVID train. It's not as much fun as it sounds. All right, Psalm 16, and we'll read this together. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who were on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who haste after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their name to on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have shown me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is a beautiful song. It is a messianic song, right? So you probably recall seeing verses 9 through 11, 10 through 11 in the book of Acts. The sermon on Pentecost that Peter gave, he quoted verse 11, and then that was Peter, and then Paul. In Antioch, I think that's Acts 13, also quoted from verse 10, both in reference to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. So it's a beautiful psalm. It is a messianic psalm. It is a psalm that transcends David, a time that David looked forward to, a time of resurrection and even glorification. This is a psalm of hope for us. It's a living hope. This psalm of good news with great joy. It is a simple psalm, isn't it? You read through this, and the language here is very, very simple. It will not take very long at all to unpack, to just walk through. It is very plain and very simple, and at the same time, very, very deep for us. It does drive our thoughts and our hearts and affections to Christ. It does drive it off of ourselves. And that was, of course, David's goal, right? David is writing about a living hope, and he's writing about this living hope during one of, you know, any time in David's life was a time of conflict and trial, right? Just kind of one trial after another. And this is written during one of those trials and even life-threatening type of trial. And in the midst of this, you see the hope of David, don't you? You see the language here of longing for his Lord. You see the language as plain and simple trust. You know, this is extremely simple, but when you're, you know, sick, like many of us have been, it just kind of refocuses, redoubles your mind on our everlasting hope and future resurrection. And that's what David's mind's on here. It is very simple. Very simple language. Starts with a prayer in verses 1 through 2. Very simple prayer. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. A very simple prayer of faith. It is a reminder to us, though, brethren, that when you go through times of trials, isn't it true that sometimes we try to, you know, use big words and big language, and, you know, David's not set on doing that here. Just a very simple language and prayer of basic trust and total reliance upon the Lord. And he does what we see David doing in other places. For example, Psalm 42, 43, Psalm 63, he's speaking to his soul directly, right? O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. You know, and as I've mentioned in other contexts of the times, Martin Lloyd-Jones instructs us this is the right way to speak to ourselves. You know, he reminds us what you say when you speak to yourself is very important. So he instructs his soul, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. And so the point here is, brethren, in the midst of David's trials and troubles, you have this simple prayer of faith. And he's affirming that there is a sovereign over his life, and it's not his enemies. It's not those who rejoice over his suffering. It is the Lord who's in charge. It is the Lord that he looks to. It is the Lord who is his hope. And so you see his reliance upon the Lord. But you also see this delight in God's people. A delight in God's people, very simple, isn't it? Verse 3, as for the saints who dwell on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. And so you see David here reflecting God's own joy for his own people. David has a joy for the saints. And of course, you see the contrast of that in verse 4, really the complete opposite. That's the pagans, right? Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer. This is, of course, pagan offerings, right? Blood libations. False worship to false pagan gods. David's saying, their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their name on my lips. And so in David's simple psalm of living hope and trust and reliance upon the Lord, you see this great contrast between his delight in the saints, delight in God's people, and the sufferings and sorrows of those who are following the pagan gods, those who practice pagan religions. You also see him continue to go on in verses 5 through 6, giving a basic pledge, David's pledge. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Now, you know that the inheritance of land was very, very important. What David is saying is the Lord is his inheritance. The Lord is his portion. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen on me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. So David here is acknowledging that the Lord, again, is the sovereign over his life, not the enemies who give him grief and trouble, not those who persecute him. It is the Lord who holds his life together. And David's acknowledging here a good providence, acknowledging God's goodness in his life, even of course, in the midst of his trials and troubles and sorrows. He's acknowledging that the Lord is his inheritance. The Lord maintains his lot. So who's controlling his life? God is controlling his life. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. And so David's a good model for us not to be bitter at God's providential plan for our life. But again, the language here is simple trust, simple hope. And when you pray through the Psalms, when you pray through this Psalm, this is a good pattern for us. You know, you can expand upon that and tell the Lord that even in the midst of your trials and tribulations, you recognize God's hand is upon your life. You can thank God that he saved you, that his hand's upon your life. And so we see David's simple pledge of faith. And then as we conclude our psalm, we see David's praise. And that's what we see in verses 7 through 11. The language here now of adoration and praise. We see, first of all, adoration and praise for God's wisdom. God's wisdom. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Now, there are other psalms where David addresses these night seasons. Psalm 63 is one that comes to mind, you know, immediately, where he meditates upon the Lord and the watches of the night. There are other psalms that come to mind as well. But David here is thankful that even in the midst of his hardships and trials, the Lord is with him in these night watches. Now, you know, we live in a culture, of course, it's radically different. But you have to be reminded, you know, this time in world history, when it's night and it is dark. And nighttime can be a time of great chaos and fear. But David is recognizing that the Lord is with him. He's thankful for God's wisdom. And again, reflecting on Psalm 63, you know, David talks about remembering God's word during these watches of the night. So David is one who stored up God's truth and the presence of God through his word, coursing through his mind, is with him as he lays in his bed in the evening. That's something that causes him to be thankful and to give praise for. He's also thankful for God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So David here is very thankful for the Lord's faithfulness. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So again, David, in the midst of his trials, is a man of praise for God's wisdom and for God's faithfulness. And really, the climax of this psalm begins in verse 9. We see David thankful for future resurrection. Again, looking beyond his own life and looking beyond himself. This is, again, fulfilled in Christ. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Again, quoted in the New Testament concerning the Lord Jesus, fulfilled messianically. It is David here giving praise to God for future resurrection. And David has enemies, he has threats, he doesn't know how it's going to end, but he knows, again, who's holding his future. And again, brethren, I mean, it is super, super simple, but it's just true. When you go through times of trials and tribulations, your mind turns upward, and you can always be thankful that your life is held in the hands of a sovereign who will not leave you in the grave. He will raise you up. Verse 11, you have shown me the path of life. This again, as we've talked about many, many times in our walking through different psalms, is the great theme of the Psalter, right? The path of life. You have shown me the path of life. So, as we said many times, that first psalm, that opening psalm, you've got two different men on two different paths, two different destinations. This is the theme that runs throughout the Psalter. And here you have David affirming that you show me the path of life. This is everlasting life. This is eternal life. This is the life of the righteous. This is a life that's led by God's word. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. You will show me the path of life in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And this is a great promise and a great word to us tonight, to be reminded again that our life is held in the hands of a sovereign God, a faithful God, one who sent his son Jesus to live for us and die for us and rise again, who sit at the right hand of the Father, who loved us and gave himself for us, and to remind ourselves that one day when this life is over, we will not be left in Sheol, we will not be left in the grave. But in this life, he has shown us the path of life. And in this presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And that's what we want to set our hearts and affections on. Set it on Christ, our eternal hope. And so, Father, again, we thank you for psalms like Psalm 16 that refocus our eyes off of things of this world and temporary things. And once again, places it on eternal things. Things forever. Things above. We pray, Lord, along with the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3, that you would set our mind on things above where Christ is. Sit at the right hand of the Father. Help us, Lord, to be heavenly minded, eternally minded. Help us, Lord, to take simple psalms like this and plant deep in our hearts and souls so that when we go through grief at night and the troubles and trials come and the panicked thoughts might even come, we pray that it would ground us bring us comfort and hope. And we pray, Lord, that we would in all truth be able to say along with David, verse 11, you show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And Lord, that is our great living hope, and we are very thankful. We pray, Lord, you bless our time of a prayer this evening. And Lord, we pray that as we intercede for lost friends and family, and intercede for the sick among us and those who go through trials among us, we are very thankful to be reminded that you're here with us, and that you hear us, and that you love us, and that you walk with us. Bless us, we pray, as we come together in prayer now. In Christ's name.